So focusing more, obviously, there's been a lot of work done throughout oncology nowadays looking at genomic variables, and you've been very involved with this, and there are multiple really interesting initiatives that you're involved with right now trying to look at this. At this point, what do we know about that? And particularly, we're hearing more and more, and you were nice enough to participate in a symposium. We had multiple people with different tumor interests, and this concept of DNA repair deficiency. How does that fit in right now with this vision you have?
I definitely integrate it as an important part of the care for pancreatic cancer patients. The overarching picture is that we know that about 25% of pancreatic cancers, and that number, that percentage of 25%, has been consistent across multiple publications. We actually counted one day, it's probably well over 5,000 patients that have been studied independently. And generally speaking, about 25% of pancreatic cancer tumors harbor what we call actionable mutations, where there are different mutations that are driving the cancers. There's a few important categories. One important category is really coming to light are the KRAS wild-type pancreatic cancers, which represent about 5% of pancreatic cancers. There was one recent big publication that had the percentage up to 12%, but that's probably a little bit overstated. So somewhere in the 5 to 10% range. And these KRAS wild-type tumors clearly have other drivers, fusion genes that are often very targetable, things like BRAF mutations, but also NTRK fusions, FGFR fusions, et cetera. So identifying even KRAS wild-type tumors is a window or a door into looking for other actionable drivers. But as you mentioned, the most common subgroup, representing probably about 17% of all pancreatic cancers, are those with some degree of DNA damage response and repair deficiency. This is best known for the BRCA mutations, but actually BRCA mutations only make up about 3 to 5% of pancreatic cancers. ATM mutations are actually the most common DNA damage response and repair mutations, making up about 6%. And then there's a whole slew of 1% or less of genes that are mutated throughout the DNA damage response and repair pathway that probably have different degrees of responsiveness to both platinum-based therapies and also some of the newer therapies like PARP inhibitors and other DNA damage repair inhibitors. So I think that there's a tremendous amount to learn and to study, and I think identifying these patients and getting them on different therapies, particularly in the context of clinical trials, so we can understand which drugs work best based on which mutations, is going to be really critical.